else. Scott, then we'll get Scott's daughter. Well, so long as you know you're talking to the elder's wife, another member of the congregation, it's not the same thing as talking to the elders, would be my... I guess I'm not supposed to answer all these. Go ahead, boy.
That's the way I would see it. It would be sister to sister, and it wouldn't matter whose wife. Ideally, the elder's wife would have some of that same wisdom, experience, and background that could help maybe better than... I would say it would be better to go to an elder's wife if you're a very young, say like a newlywed, as opposed to going to another newlywed for your advice and dealing with whatever the problem is. Again, it depends on, do you want to solve the problem or do you want to find someone that will support you in your particular feelings at that time. But yeah, to go to the elder's wife, I would see it as probably a good choice, and but no different than going to any other sister.
I think Boyd has said it very well. The elder's wife, you know, an elder is generally an older person, more experienced. The elder's wife would also be more experienced, would be a very good person for you to talk to. If it is an issue that eventually has to go to the elders, that person would have to be aware that at some point she is going to have to talk directly to the elders. But it may start by talking to the elder's wife. The elder's wife might talk with the elder and lay some of the groundwork, but she's not there as a mediator. If there's a problem that needs to be dealt with the elders, eventually it will have to go to the elders.
I think, yeah, it's all good.
Randy?
Yes.
One thing I addressed with this, our daughter, Gwen, this is for parents, somebody who may have a daughter. When we got married, we had the father-daughter talk. I told her she was going to have marital problems in some way. It may be money, it may be many other avenues. But what we told her is, you go wherever you go to church and join yourself with that congregation, you will know who the most spiritual women in that congregation are in a very short time. And you tie yourself in a relationship with those spiritual women. And when those problems come in marriage, you go to those women and you talk about those things. Don't go to your peer group. You find spiritual women. Titus 2 tells our older women to teach our younger women how to be women of God. Every one of us that are elders because our wives are there to support us, and they set that example, and they show wisdom. When people come to my wife, and it's a big situation, she'll ask them, is it okay if I share this with Jim? And understanding that Jim may need to share this with the other elders, she'll explain it. And there has been times when when Pam has been told, no, I really don't want you to share that. And that makes it difficult because we as elders may perceive that this person's having a problem. That person has met with one of our spouses, but they cannot tell us what the situation is. But at least this woman is seeking the help of another spiritual woman. And we need to teach our young women to seek out spiritual women to help them deal with some of the problems.
So Shelby, if I'm bringing the answers together, these fellows are saying, if you had a problem best discussed with a mature woman, great. If it's an issue that deals with the congregation or that's going to involve the elders at some point, you can't go around the elders by going to a wife, but she may be able to understand better female to female certain issues that would be much more valuable there. So there may not be the same answer for every situation, if I'm hearing what I think I've heard. Does that help? Maybe a little bit of all of the above. I don't know that there's any concrete answers to every situation. I do know that it is often everything that Hobart and I wind up talking about. A lot of what we talk about doesn't go through our wives, somewhat to their consternation at times. Side thing, that's a stress of being an elder. One of the things that makes a good marriage is being able to share freely. And when you got a job, when there's a bunch of things you can't share, it creates a little bit of tension in the relationship at home at times till wives of elders understand better why that is. But there's a flip side to that. And it's interesting, Shelby, you and I've had a couple conversations, and when we got done, I really didn't understand where you were coming from. I might as well be straight about it. And I would share some of that with Karen, and I'd say, I don't know what she's driving at. And Karen would say, well, maybe it's this. And a light goes on. Okay, that's not exactly the way it filtered through my male mind, what she said, but now I can see that, or at least that's a possibility, you know. So there can be, an elder's wife can be a huge resource in what we were talking about earlier, communication, because the older I get, I have not gotten a lot better at always understanding men and women communicate different. I know that when we're driving down the highway and Karen asks me if I'm hungry, that she's not really asking about whether I'm hungry. She's, in male terms, she's saying the first restaurant you find, pull over, I'm starving. And I've picked up a little bit of that, but there are communication, there are things like that, and I do think that a elder's wife can be a huge help, and we ought to use that asset to accomplish things. But I'd still want to come back to reiterate the other part. There are things where an elder's wife is not going to be able to be the substitute for God's constituted leaders in the Lord's church, and we don't want to get there either. But that's an excellent question, Joe.
There are things that need to come to the elders because they affect the spiritual well-being of the congregation and your recognition of their role as those who watch on your on behalf of your soul and as your spiritual leaders. But does everybody have to come? congregation that can comfort them and encourage them in those kind of things. I think that's two totally separate questions. Understanding where does it move from our individual responsibility as Christians to encourage one another and hear each other's confession of sin and praying for one another to something that crosses over that line that Brother Matt talked to, where you have to recognize the responsibility that you need to say to the elders, I, as a member of your flock, need your help. I think that we don't want to create a de facto Catholic position or whatever, that you can only confess, instead of the priest, you can only confess to the elders, you know, that all your problems, that you can't talk to anybody else that can give you good Christian counsel, you can be an encourager or a comforter. It's just that ultimately the elders have that responsibility, and you have to have judgment as to when this is something that your friend can help you with, or an older woman at the church can help you with, or when you need to do like Brother Max said in the lesson this morning, go to the elders and say, this is a, you need to know about this and I need your help with that. And I don't think there's a hard, fast set of rules other than that I want to avoid creating another Catholic confessional system within the church.
Scott, we better get you in. We got about 10 minutes left here. I do. I mean, I understand the question. I don't think I know all the answer. And I'm gonna lay a little foundation and then turn this over to the other guys. This is an issue within our congregation here at New Carlisle. Just put it out on the table. Hobart and I think we know our congregation pretty well, but there is a sense within our congregation that we don't know our congregation very well. So we've got different viewpoints on that, and a considerable difference in viewpoint about how you achieve getting to know your congregation well. So I'm not going to try to give any answer to it. I want to be the learner this afternoon and hear what some of the others have to to say about that? Start with you, Bill.
That's a difficult question, and I really don't believe I have the answer fully to that. We should have the communication, as we said before. We should try to get to know people. We should get to know their strengths and their weaknesses, and we should try to encourage them in their weaknesses and use their strengths for the church. But to how far does that go into people's personal lives and things? People only let you know what they want you to know, most generally. You don't magically know everything about people. You know what they reveal to you and what they tell you. And that's the only basis that you can really go on, as far as I can understand. So I really don't have a good answer for your question.
In Matthew, when it talks about the shepherd and his sheep and the good shepherd and his sheep, one of the things that it says that he goes, goes through the fold and he calls the sheep. They recognize his voice and they follow him out. And I had a thought about if I just got on the phone, and by the way, I think this is very rude to call someone on the phone and just start talking to them without saying who you are. That's a personal opinion of mine. But if I were to go down our directory and call each person and start talking to them without telling them who I am, would they know who I was? Simply by voice. Now, I know that's a biblical thing with the shepherd and the sheep, but I think the point there is made that the sheep at least know the shepherd enough that they recognize his voice. If there's a concern that the elder is my real good buddy and knows everything that I've got on Facebook or whatever it is about me, that's not the elder's responsibility. The elder is about, as I understand it, is about your spiritual soul. And as Jim was saying a while ago, making sure that you get your soul, get you to heaven. And there's a lot of things in your life that going on that, frankly, I don't care if you're doing it or not. And I might not be particularly interested in it, but I am concerned about your soul. I certainly need to spend more time with you than just in the building to know you better. Bill's point, I'll only know what you reveal. And if there's things about me that you don't want me to know, I probably won't know. I can maybe guess by some patterns of behavior and stuff like that. But to go to, what if, I get frustrated that we don't, as a congregation, spend as much time together. Well, what if these folks over here got together, and these folks over here got together, and these folks over here got together, and they're doing all of this good getting together that I think we need to do as brothers and sisters, and they want me to come to each of those things as an elder, and they're not spiritual at all in their functions. I should mention that. They're just getting together. I'd be hard-pressed to get to all of them. It's not because I'm too busy doing everything else in the world. It's just that it's... I'll give it back to you for a little while. But I don't see that... what was the question again? How much time does an elder need to spend with the congregation to know them?
From that standpoint.
Well, if I'm inquiring of it and want to know everything about your life, you might think it's that away. But I would hope that you would want me to know about what's going on in your life if I'm charged you to help you get to heaven.
And I guess my question is, how do you get there? As an elder, you know, how do you get to that point where you know your flock enough because you are accountable?
And maybe, again, that's the wisdom of the multiple elders. I don't get quite as close to you as this elder does, but I get a lot closer to this one than this elder does. And so between the two or three or four of us, we as a group make sure we know where you're at and where you get. I've got a neighbor that has a small flock of sheep. Those sheep have not been sheared now. This is the fourth year. I am surprised that someone has not turned him in yet to Humane Society or something like that. He loves his animals, but he's not spending the time with them and doing what he needs to do with them when he spends the time. People stop at our house and they say, are those your sheep? No, they're not mine, all right? I want you to know that. You'd know if they were mine. And so I think that as an elder, you've got to be able to spend the time to know what's going on in that sheep's life. If you only shear the sheep once a year, and I used to do that because that was one day in the year that I went from head to toe on that animal, I knew everything that was going on. If I don't spend time with my sheep, spiritual or physical, I won't know them. But I don't know that I am going to ever know them too much. I don't know that that can happen. But I'm not going to, in a human Christian standpoint, I don't need to ask every single thing that's going on in your life or know everything. I need to know about your spiritual well-being.
Well, I have to agree with both Bill and Boyd. If the person doesn't want you to know something, you're probably not going to find out about it unless you become a private investigator, and I don't think that's our job. But I think what we do need to do is to try to get close to them, to become their friend. As Boyd said, we can't spend just this time here in the building and that be the only time that we spend together. We need to spend some time together outside of the building. So maybe we invite them to some event, invite them to go somewhere with us. Even maybe, hey, let's just get together and go out to lunch sometime. But then again, you know, there are going to be certain people that are going to say, well, you know, I'm busy then. I got to wash my hair that night. Or, you know, they'll avoid that situation because they don't want to become too closely involved. Maybe they don't want you finding out something that's in their life. But, you know, if they don't want us to find out, it's going to be very difficult for us to find out. So is there a line in the sand? You know, I don't think we drag them into a little room and put a white light over them and go through the Inquisition. But I think as much as possible, we need to just be friendly with them and try to interact with them and get to know them that way.
I'll make this kind of short because I know we're ready for the next. But Scott, you know, Hebrews, we talked about this morning, right? Hebrews 13:7. Two key words that jump out of there from my perspective is, one, the elders watch for your soul, and the elders are going to give an account for the actions, okay, for their actions. So what that means is I've got to be watchful. You know, what Brother Boyd talked about, the aspect of the shepherd knowing the sheep, right? That's so important. Shepherds need to know, and that's what that whole word means. The shepherd needs to know the sheep, right, within the flock, and they need. And there is, and I agree. I don't think there is a line. Okay, I mean, I think you have to try to do the best you can to get to know the flock to the extent that they'll allow. But sometimes you have to kind of go beyond and try to do what you can to get to know them. And it's beyond the confines of these four walls. Just because you come in and you leave, that's not the extent. That doesn't end. The elder's responsibility to get to know you as a member of the congregation, to try to work with you, or try to get them to understand or know who you are, or the problems or the situations that you're facing on a daily basis. So I think that's, you know, how I would try to, you know, come about an answer. You know, we have to give an account, and it's an important that that we get to know, that we know. We need to lead the sheep, right? And you can't be a good shepherd if you don't know the flock.
Well, our time for this period is about up. All of this has been very helpful to me, and I'm hoping that on this last question, that is a very relevant one to us in this congregation, we can find some springboards to that. I don't think we've found big group gatherings to be a very, they're useful, but I've not seen much in terms of getting to know brethren spiritual problems come out of a big lunch affair like we had out the house. That's not usually where it happens. Elders don't always have someone else to turn to in regard to people getting to know them very well either. One of the first things I was invited to when we moved back to Ohio is a Friday morning gathering way down the other end of 675, but it's worth the trip to me because I get together with some fellows, none of which are from up here, actually. And we do a little bit of Bible study. That's probably, a third of our effort. We share the same old political views we've said every week for 10 years. And then usually in about two-thirds of them, we discuss a little bit individual problems we've had or have heard about and toss around different ways that those have been handled, mishandled, successful, unsuccessful. And I wouldn't drive all the way to the end of 675 just to see Jim, but I would now and then, but it's been pretty successful in that regard. And what I'm telling this little story about is that I believe that you have to mutually construct means of getting together that have within the purpose of their design to deal with these things. And if you merely say, let's all go to Enon to eat together, which we do every second month, I enjoy that we're together with brethren of like precious faith, but in a public restaurant with 18 people or 20 from our congregation, it's very unlikely that I'm going to learn as an elder anything new about you, Scott. But when you climbed aboard with Hobart and I and we went to the Kettering meeting the other night, we had time down and we had time back. And in a format like that, when we have some time to discuss things of a spiritual nature, that's where I find my learning about brethren occurring. And most of those occasions have to be very small group or individual before I see. It doesn't always happen there, but we've had a lot of discussion in our congregation about needing to get together more collectively, and I'm not opposed to that, but from an elder standpoint of getting to know the brethren better, I'm not finding that conducive for learning more about you spiritually. And I've not communicated that well. I've tried and tried and tried, and I believe I'm always translated as, well, he just doesn't want to get together like that. But when that idea is raised, it's usually in the context of getting to know brethren better, And I just, it maybe it works for you, but it just doesn't work for me. That's not where I learn about Scott Tidwell and his concerns, drives, things of that sort. That may be me. That's why I said I'm wide open to learning, but taking another stab at that communication there. That's anyway. Well, we don't want to steal Jim's time here. We'll let him go over a little bit if he needs to. But when I saw absolutely no questions turned in on any written forms, I had a little sinking feeling in my heart that this part of the session might kind of go down in flames, but I have been immensely relieved and enthused about what we've accomplished in this hour and a half. If you haven't gotten any benefit out of it, I'm sorry, but this elder certainly has, and I think it's been highly profitable and useful, and I want to thank